an AppleViz original.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for giving this podcast a listen. Hey, my name is Thomas Donville. I just go by the name of Not a Mouse. In this podcast, I'm going to show you the general features you will find within iOS 14. Of course, this is not all the new features you will find in iOS 14. There are many more to find as you dive into it yourself. I know that you're eager and excited to get your hands on iOS 14. So without further ado, on with the show. Home screen gets widgets. You can now add widgets to your home screen. It's pretty simple to do. So just go to edit mode on the home screen you're at.
Edit mode. Started editing.
And at the top left, you'll notice an add widgets.
Add widget button.
Double tap that.
Search widgets. Search field.
So now I'm going to look for battery.
Batteries button.
You find that. Double tap that.
Batteries heading.
And go to the right.
Close button. Status. View the status of your iPhone and connected Bluetooth accept. Widget preview. Small. The mouse watch. Watch. 100%. Page 1 of 3. Adjust. Add widget. Button.
So you get the information about what the widget is and what it does. Now I'm going to add it. Double tap. And then we'll get out of edit mode.
Finished editing. Batteries. Widget.
And so there's the battery widget. It's not on your home screen. So if I go a little bit around here.
Voice screen reader. Mail. No. Batteries. Widget. The mouse
and
watch.
There
watch.
It is. So now you can look through the battery widget as you had in today. Now, if you want to stack something called widget stack, we're going to add something to it. I'll add it in a different way. I'll go to the today.
Search. Text field. Double tap.
And I'm going to find the weather.
Sip. Weather. Widget. Lee Summit. 80.
Once I find it, swipe up to edit.
Edit mode. Started editing.
And drag.
Drag weather.
I'm going to drag the weather.
Podcast is editing. Widget.
And we'll go
stack.
Back to the first page. And
add
find
widget.
The battery.
Button. Batteries is editing.
And then we're going to swipe up.
Cancel drag. Create new stack with batteries and weather. Drop ready.
It'll create a new stack.
Drop complete.
And get out of edit.
Finished editing. Weather. Widget. Stack. Lee Summit.
Now it'll give you a stack option. This is the stack options you get. That means you can put multiple widgets on top of each other. So you get two things in the same area. So we got the weather here. And if you want to go to the next one, you just swipe down.
Next widget.
And double tap.
Widget 1 of 2. Batteries. Widget.
And back
stack.
To my battery.
Thomas iPhone.
They also have Smart Stack, which will automatically figure out which widget you want to see based on day, time, places, location, and things like that. Get organized and faster access to apps in App Library. So we're going to go to the last home screen page that you have. So in my case, it's page 2 of 2, so I'll go there.
Page 2 of 2. Adjustable.
Now that you're on your last page, I'm going to do a three-finger swipe to the left.
App Library. Search field.
There are many options in here for you to see. Now you got the App Library here. If you swipe to the right.
Suggestions. Settings.
Double it's going to suggest to you, so it thinks I want to go to settings, probably so. I've been doing a lot of these podcasts, so it's going straight to the settings to make different changes. It'll look different for you. Now, go to the right.
Newsify.
It's going to suggest what is the second thing you use the most. Obviously, Newsify I use heavily, so that's a great idea. So it's going to give you top things that it thinks you are wanting to get to quickly.
Twitter. Outlook. Recently added. Fantasy.
And then it has the recently added. That's correct. I have ESPN Fantasy Football that was just added recently. So you have what it thinks it wants you to get to. And now it gets into the next area of new recent apps that you installed.
HW Buddy. Goldwave. Beta. Recently added folder. 15 apps.
And then it shows recently added folders. So you can see what folders are available. Now, the easy way to get to the categories below is use the container. So you want to use container, and you're going to use containers quite a bit in iOS 14, as since Apple is starting to use containers more than they are with headings. So I have containers set up, so I'm going to show you the different categories you can go.
Social, messages,
social.
Double tap to open.
Let's go to the next one.
Productivity and finance, mail, no unread emails.
Okay.
Double tap to open.
It will show you all the
categories you can go to. So this is a productivity. So all the apps are now assigned into categories. So it's going to show you a few that it thinks or you have used recently for productivity. So mail, obviously I use that quite a bit.
Adobe Fill and Sign.
Yep.
To do. Productivity and Finance folder. 40 apps. Double tap to open.
As you hear there, there are 40 more apps that fall into that category. And if you want to go down to see more categories for different categories like utilities and things like that, you just keep going down to different categories. I'm going to go ahead and double tap here.
Productivity and Finance. Heading.
Now it's going to show you all 40 apps that I have that fall in this category.
Adobe Fill and Sign, Attendee Hub, Audio Memo, Authenticator, Bank of America.
And it's all in order by alphabetized order. Uncluttered by hiding pages to the app library. So when you are, say, you want to hide a page to the app library, you can do so. Just normally do your typical edit. I'll show you. So I'm going to hide. I have two pages. My first one is where my homepage of all the shortcuts. And then second page, I have nothing but folders. And I want to hide that page. So you just do.
Come touch. Double tap to open.
And go into edit mode.
Edit mode.
Double tap.
Started editing.
And then go down to the bottom where you have page two.
Page two of three.
Go ahead and double tap that.
Home screen page hiding. Page two of three. Adjustable.
And we're going to go to the list here.
Edit pages.
So in my case, I have two pages here. So we'll swipe to the right.
Page one. Visible.
It's showing us visible.
Page two. Visible.
And just double tap that to hide it. And to bring it back, obviously it's going to be hidden. And you double tap that and it will bring that back up. Now I'm going to show you how to hide a app to the app library. Yes, instead of the whole page, you can just do an app. So I'll get out of here.
Office Lens is editing. Recently updated.
So let's say I got Office Lens here. If I'm going to hide it, you're going to pretend like you're going to delete it. So I'm going to swipe up.
Drag Office Lens. Delete.
And double tap.
Alert. Move Office Lens to app library or delete the app.
You got two choices here.
Moving the app will remove it from the home screen and keep all of its data. Delete app. Button.
Now you can delete it or
move to app library.
Button. Move to app library. So that's how you move it. You can now multitask with the picture-in-picture feature. What this allows you to do is take a video that is playing and put it in a picture-in-picture mode. That will essentially allow you to multitask in your home screen or other apps while a movie or video or show is playing. So let me give you an example here. I have Apple TV Plus up here.
Ted Lasso, heading.
So here's one of the newer Apple TV Plus show. I'm going to go ahead and hit play here.
Resume episode. Button.
And double tap here.
Over done. The head of a diving goalie.
And what's going to happen at the top left is the done button. I'm going to go ahead and pause. Top left is done.
Done. Button.
And to the right of that.
Picture in picture. Button.
It's picture in picture. Just go ahead and do a one finger double tap. I'll go ahead and resume it and double tap that.
And in an office overlooking
picture in picture display.
Several
picture in picture
carry items out of
now,
the office.
It's in
her gaze remains
display.
Fixed
so
to a
let's go to the home
wall.
Screen.
A man wearing glasses mail. Awkwardly sidles past the
and you can
and
hear my regular screen.
Messages. Voice screen reader.
And where do you find the picture in picture is at the top. So by the status bar.
Location tracking on.
Where you
image.
Find that.
Status bar item.
Right below that. So
swipe
one
down
finger.
With three fingers to reveal notifications. Swipe up.
Oh, you have
just do one
taste.
Finger and slide down.
Picture in picture video button.
And there's the picture in picture
no one read emails
and as you can see it's split. I paused it and now you're able to multitask. Translate is now a standalone app, so you can do translate in Siri, but you have a new translate app. So let's go look at that.
Translate.
Double tap in this.
Translate from English US button.
Very simple. You have option to double tap here to say what the first language you want to use.
To Spanish. Button.
And to the second language you want to use. Once you have those two developed, you go to where you get to the listen button.
Listen. Button. Speak in either English or Spanish to translate. Use magic tap when finished.
And self-explanatory. Kind of cool. So you don't have to do, you don't have to keep tapping English or Spanish. It does it either way at the same time. So let's do this. Hello.
Hola.
And then when you're ready to go back, you go to the listen button again.
Listen button. Speak in either English or Spanish to translate. Use magic tap when finished.
Hola.
Hello.
And now you can do language back and forth easier with the Translate app. Also to note that Siri has received over 60 new languages to translate. Move over Safari and Mail with your own browser and Mail default choice. Yes, that's exactly what you have been hearing from the WWDC and iOS 14. This means you will be able to use any of the browsers or Mail choice instead of having to use Apple's native Mail or Apple's native Safari. You can now replace Safari, say, with Google Chrome, or if you would like to use Microsoft Outlook instead of the Apple's Mail, you'll be able to use Outlook. As of this podcast and the recording, we are unsure when this feature will be showing up, but we can expect in the upcoming months that this will become an option. Keeping things organized in Messages. There's quite a few new features within Messages, so I'm in Messages itself. I'm going to show you a whole bunch of conversation I have so you can get an idea how many people I have.
Conversations. Randy Rusnick, Angela, Marianne Christina, Angela Knight Donville, Zach Donville, Carol Riedelbach Donville, Mary, Carol and Jerry Nagel, Riley Donville, the whole darn family, muted, so...
So you can see I have a whole bunch of conversations going on at the same time. I don't want to delete any of those because I use them quite a bit for different variation with my family and friends and whatever have not. So let's just take my wife, for example. If you want to take and pin them, and what that does, it allows you to pin it to the top so you can put your favorites towards the top. So if those are the people you regularly want to talk to and you don't want to have to swipe all the way down because you've been having the conversation, that is a new feature is called pinning.
Angela Knight Donville, it might be like the...
And here's my wife, for example. If I want to pin her, I'll swipe down.
Pin.
And that will pin it. Double tap.
Conversations.
Randy, and that will put it towards the top. You can pin up to 9 things towards the top. So let's go to the top again.
Search. Search field. Conversations. Angela Knight Donville.
And there she is. Now she's pinned to the top. The other new item is the inline reply. So let's just pick a conversation here that you have a group conversation.
Angela, Marianne, Christina.
So here's my sisters and my wife. Double tap that.
Conversation. Mary.
Go to a particular person you want to do an inline reply with.
Christina Donville.
Once you find one, go swipe down.
React. Reply.
And you can do inline reply. The other one I want to do, I want to nudge somebody. So if you have a group conversation and you want to nudge somebody, they might be on mute or whatever, have not, or you just want to nudge them so they can get a notification. I'm going to head on out of here and go to another conversation.
Back button. Back button. The whole darn family. Mute.
Here's my whole family, so if you don't go in here in this conversation.
Riley,
and go to the messages itself down at the bottom.
Message. Text field is editing.
Double tap
message.
That.
Insertion pointed out.
Now, what you're going to do is you're going to put your message and then the person you want to nudge. For example, I'll do my son here. Are you there, Riley Donville?
Inserted, are you there, Riley Donville?
Now, if I go to the message itself, check this out.
Message. Text field is editing. Are you there, Riley Donville? One possible mention, Riley Donville. Character
you hear
mode.
That?
Insertion so point between.
That could be a possible mention. So go to the left.
Show more. Button. Button. Mentions. Riley Donville, one of one.
And there he is. So now I'm going to double tap him.
Selected. Riley Donville,
and
one of one.
And now selected. Let's take a look at the message.
Message. Text field is editing. Are you there? Riley Donville, one mention. Riley Donville.
And now he's included to mention. Styling with new Memojis. Yes, you have more options to do with your Memojis now. There are new styles for hairstyles and headwears, like mask and etc. You also have new Memoji stickers for hugs, fist bumps, and blush. Goodbye bedtime and hello to sleep mode. For those that have used the bedtime mode, that has now been replaced with the sleep mode. Yes, now you give the option to be able to schedule your sleep habits. So if you want to schedule your time for sleep, say I want to sleep between 11 p.m. and get up at 7 a.m., you can schedule that. And that way, when that time comes up, it will automatically put itself to do not disturb and sleep mode to give you a better night's sleep. also has the option to do a wind down. So if you want to schedule something to winding down before your sleep mode kicks in, this kind of gives you a notification to say, hey, your sleep schedule is about to come. It's time to wind down. Bubble style user interface for adding time and date. In this example, I'm going to show you calendar, as the bubble style has pretty much appeared everywhere within the Apple iOS ecosystem. So I'm going to go to the right here.
Text field is
there. So you typically have your title that you want to give it, but we're going to go down to where it has the date where we start and end.
Location, all day, switch button, off. Starts September 6th, 2020, 2 p.m.
And to change this, as we typically do, we just double tap that. And I'm going to go to the right.
Time picker, time, 2 o'clock, text field.
Now you're going to hear that is a now a time picker, but it's an edit field, yes. So essentially, below here, when you double tap this.
Time, text field.
Below this is the.
Thursday, September 10th.
Button. Is the date area. That is where you select the dates itself, and then below this
5:05
is the keypad where you insert the time. So if you want 4 o'clock, you'll have to put 4:00 to make it 4 o'clock. And then you go back up to the option where your time entry was.
Time text field is editing 0.
As you go right here,
AM button,
you have the AM
selected, PM,
and then you can select the PM. Note to listeners, I really dislike this new feature. There is no way to turn this off or go back to the old style where we had to flick up and down to different days and time. Improvements to voice memo. We are now presented several new features, which is long overdue, and I absolutely love these new features with the options of new folders.
Voice memos heading.
So I'm here. So now you get the option to do new folders.
All right, toolbar. New folder button.
And there she is. And when you double tap that, you can now organize all your voice memos into different folders. You also have the option to favorite certain memos that you want to keep, so that way you can go back and retrieve it easily and quickly. So I'll go to the recordings that I've created.
New recording 3, August 19th.
So if you want to favoritize that, just swipe down.
Favorite.
And double tap, and now it becomes favorite. And the other last feature within Voice Memo is one of the big one, is to enhance the recording. So if you have an ambient room with a background noise, that background noise will be reduced dramatically. And so I have an example here, so I'll play what it sounds like at first.
Play button. Stop button.
As you can hear, there's a fan humming in the background, right?
Edit recording button.
Go to edit recording.
Resume button. Done button.
Now we'll swipe to the right. And then we're going to find the enhance.
Enhance button.
And once you find that, double tap that.
Selected. Enhance mode on.
And now the enhance mode is on. So go back out of here and listen to it.
Play button.
Now I'm going to play it for you so you can hear the difference.
Stop button.
Absolutely resume. Quiet. Button. As you notice, it removed the hissing sound that we had in the fan of the background. Customize resolution and format and camera. Now within the settings, you now have the new formats.
Formats button.
Double tap that.
Camera capture heading.
Now it gives you several options to choose from, depending on resolution and format that you want the photo to be.
Selected, high efficiency, most compatible. To reduce file size, capture photos and videos in the high efficiency HEIF/HEIFC format. Most compatible will always use JPEG/H264, but 4K at 60 frames per second and 1080p at 240 frames per second require high efficiency.
Keep your AirPods healthier with the optimized battery charging feature. This is very similar to, and you're probably familiar with your iPhone optimized battery feature, which allows you to charge up to a certain point and then it will charge up to 100% based on your schedule charging habits. So this is a new item that you'll have to turn on for AirPods, and then it'll keep the AirPods healthier and stay longer battery health. Feel safer with a data breach. and password leaks detection. You'll find this under the settings, under password, and then we get to this following item in there.
Security recommendations, security risks found, 13, button.
So in my case, it found 13. Oh my goodness, Thomas, what are you going to do? This is a cool new feature. Double tap this.
Detect compromised passwords. Switch button on. Double tap to toggle setting.
Of course, you have to turn this option on. So I'm going to give you one example here.
iPhone can securely monitor your passwords and send an alert you if they appear in known data leaks. High priority. Heading. Facebook.com. This password has appeared in a data leak, which puts this account at high risk of compromise. You should change your password immediately. Button. Change password on website.
So it gives us the option. So it tells me at Facebook that the password that I use on Facebook has been used in a data leak. What that means, when you have a data leak, no, it doesn't mean that your account was compromised or anyway, or somebody stole it. But in a data leak, essentially means that the password that I'm using Facebook has been seen in a data leak. So that exact same password had been used. So therefore, the hackers will take that and put it in a password list, and that what they will use in an attacking attempt for like a brute force. So it would try all these lists of known password against accounts, so they try to attempt to get in. So in this case, that password has been used before. I need to change it to make it more unique, and that has not been seen in other data leaks.
Other recommendations, 6, heading.
We have other recommendations, so we have the high-risk area.
Snoozeliver.com, easily guessed, reused password, C, button.
As it pretty much states, it's too easy, it needs to be stronger, and it has been duplicated. So that means this password, I must have used it in other accounts, so it's telling you to try to use a stronger password and a unique password just for that site and make all other sites different. Keeps trackers in their tracks with the privacy reports in Safari. This is a really nice new feature that you will find under Safari itself. So when you open up Safari, at the top left is the format.
Format options.
Double tap that. And you're going to go to the right until you get to the privacy reports.
Privacy report button.
And double tap this.
Privacy report heading.
This contains lots of great valuable information about the site or sites you have visited. So I'll show you an example here.
Done. Button. Safari prevents trackers from following you across websites. Show more. Button. Last 30 days. Heading. Trackers prevented from profiling you. 69. Websites that contacted trackers. 68%. Most contacted tracker. Google-analytics.com was prevented from profiling you across 13 websites.
Very useful. Now you have the option to pick several items here.
Selected. Websites. Button.
Based
one of
on
two.
Websites.
Trackers. Button.
Or
two
by
of two.
Tracker. So let's do by websites.
Secrutiny.com. One. Button.
So this is a site that I'm on now. It only found one tracker on this site. Now if you go to the right, you'll get more information based on history.
Websites by trackers contacted. KansasCity.com. 21. Button.
So on KansasCity.com site, it has 21 blocks just on that page alone. One more here.
Mag.com, 15, button. Tomsguide.com, 11, button.
And you get the idea how this works. Now, you can go back up to the top here.
Trackers, button.
Double
selected.
Tap on trackers. Trackers. If you want to get in nitty-gritty in-depth, what trackers have I been blocking?
Google-analytics.com, Google, 13, button.
So Google Analytics blocked 13 times.
GoogleTagManager.com, Google, 11. DoubleClick.net, Google, 8. Button.
So a lot of Google stuff here that have been blocked. Several new features within Safari. One of the new features that you will find in Safari, if you are now going into a page that is not in their native language, so in my case, if I were to visit somewhere that has Spanish, you're now able to translate the page on the fly. So let me give you an example here what that looks like.
Button. Web dialog. Punto de referencia.
Menu.
So here's a good example. So this page is Spanish. If I wanted to change this, you go to the top left where the format is.
Format options. Alert. Enable translation. Enable translation. Button.
So in that example, you hear the Spanish on the website itself. However, when you have the translate set to on, you'll have to go up to the format button at the top left-hand corner to turn that translation on. And once it's on, from now on, when you get to a site that is in a different language, it'll automatically convert that on the fly. So that same option,
Javier Goto Montanela and his son Carlos,
is now all in English. The other feature is one of my favorite, but I don't think we're going to really see it a whole lot. But Apple's been kind of pushing their own passwordless API. So they're now handing developers on websites that allows you to go to a site that typically we would put in a user ID, password, and log in. It's pretty much like a keychain, but on the phone itself. So essentially, when it goes to like an Apple site, I log in now, it will ask for a Face ID or Touch ID to unlock. I unlock it, and voila, I'm in the page. To be precise, or not to be approximate location. Now you are given a better way of clamping down on your location. So essentially, if you don't want the app to know your precise location, like down to your address, you just want to give them just kind of an idea, an approximate area. So in my case, I don't want them to know where my address is, but I can give them the access to, well, I live in Lee Summit. This is great for like weather apps or whatever or not. So here's an Apple Store app, for example. I'm under Settings, Privacy, under Locations, and then to the Apple Store. And then when you come through here, you get the typical items as you were here.
Allow location access. Heading. Never. Ask next time. Selected. While using the app.
And such. But what the new one is go down and swipe until you get to precise.
Precise location. On.
Precise location. Now it's set to on. If you don't want the precise location to be on, you can turn this off. They still will be able to give you an idea where you are and where you need to go to find an Apple Store. So this is something you want to come in to turn on and off.
Allows apps to use your specific location. With this setting off, apps can only determine your approximate location.
Thus, give you a better protection of apps knowing exactly where you are. Other various notifications. Every so often, you may see some features that are there to protect you, alert you, or even a question in what we should do. So here's the three examples of features you will see. Stay out of my clipboard. That's a nice one, which means if you have an app that is accessing your clipboard secretly without your knowledge, it now will pop up, say, this app is trying to access the clipboard. You will have to give it access to yes or no. A notification feature, which is great for Apple Watch users. If you have an Apple Watch sitting on a charger and it's being charged up, and when it gets done charging, it will now notify you that the Apple Watch is now ready. And there may be ones that may want to ask what you want to do, such as the liquid detection in the lightning port. So if it detects moisture or liquid in the lightning port and you try to plug it in, it's going to say, hey, there's liquid in the port. I want to let you know that. If you were to go ahead and say yes to this, you may damage your device. So we would recommend saying no. So when you pop up no, it will not try to charge your device and to therefore short out your lightning port. Getting the lowdown on the new app privacy. This will be coming within the next year. It is not in the release of iOS 14, but over time, things will change how you will receive what app are using in terms of your privacy. They will now have to have an option to where you will allow to opt in to their advertisement, which allows them to be able to know more about you so you can be transparent, or you get the option to turn off where you be more anonymous. Feeling better about preserving your privacy on a local network. So when you're connected in Wi-Fi, for example, and you go to that router, for example, or that Wi-Fi that you're using, swipe up and go to more info. In this area, you now have the option to do private address.
Private address. Switch button. On.
Which is on by default. So let me give you an example here. I'll let this explain to you what this does.
Wi-Fi address. Using a private address helps reduce tracking of your iPhone across different Wi-Fi networks.
So essentially, every time you connect to the Wi-Fi, it will know it was the same device. So every time you come onto the Wi-Fi, it randomly changes your address. So you are identified by a MAC address that identifies it. It will keep changing on the fly so they will never be able to track you and log you if you come into the same shop or local network. Getting more friendlier with the native Apple Music app. One of the changes you will see in music is the For You tab is no longer there and is now Listen Now.
Listen Now tab.
And within the Listen Now tab has variety of things such as
Top Picks.
Top Heading. Picks, that's for you.
Made for you. Thomas Donville Station. Recently updated. Heading.
And recently updated. What artists have been updated lately that might interest you?
Chill Mix. Carla Bonoff. Love Plus. Heading. Workout. Heading.
And they have different categories if you want to get into mood for workouts and other, etc.
Recently played. Heading.
And then you get to recently played. It also brings better search, which now brings up genre, mood, and activities, and suggestions as you type. There's a new autoplay feature. So when a playlist or song that you're listening to finishes, Apple Music will then similar song that you were listening to. And another notable feature you will notice is the haptic feedback is now implemented on the media control. So every time you do a play on the next and back, you'll get this haptic feeling. Context autofill feature. Now this is a little bit different, which is kind of cool. Have you ever seen when an app asks for access to your contacts? Well, you may not feel comfortable about that particular app obtaining all the contacts that you have. So you are now, when it asks for it, if you wanted to give it a full access to contact, you can say no and just select certain people that you want. So for example, if I'm in Telegram and ask for my contact list, I can say no and a pop-up will come up and then will give me the option to select different contacts. So I can just pick the few and selected that I know I will be using on Telegram rather than giving everybody my contact list. Eye contacts on FaceTime calls attention correction feature. Now this may sound like deja vu. Yes, it's what? Huh? Yes, deja vu. So last year, iOS 13 was supposed to introduce this feature, but they, for some reason, they pulled that out. But now it's back in iOS 14 for you. So now, from now on, whenever you use FaceTime, and under settings, under FaceTime, there's an option now for eye contact.
Eye contact. Heading. Eye contact. On.
Default by on. I'll give it a little description of what it's supposed to do.
Establish natural eye contact while on FaceTime.
Essentially, when this is on, we have the tendency for those with some sight with low vision, we look at the screen and actually the camera is up above. So it looks like we're looking down. So with this attention correctionist, it'll look like that we're looking directly at the camera. Send audio message to your friends now with Siri. This is a new feature that allows you to use Siri to send audio message to your friends with your iMessage feature. It's as simple as asking Siri, send an audio message to my friend. So in this case, I'll send one to myself. Send an audio message to Thomas Donville.
Okay, recording.
Hello, Tom. This is a new recording that I can send by audio message to you by Siri.
Great. Send it to Thomas.
Yes.
Okay, it's sent.
Imagey search on Apple Keyboard. This is another one of those features. It's not necessarily just for accessibility folks, but it's also for something that we would use. It is a mainstream new feature, but we now are able to search for emojis on the keyboard. So let's use this as an example here. I'm going to use message for example.
Message. Text field.
Double tap.
Double tap to edit. Insertion point at end.
Now, as usual, so if you go down to the bottom left.
Emoji. Button.
Double
next
tap
keyboard.
That.
English. U.S.
And now, towards in the middle, right after the message itself,
search emoji, text field,
is the search
double
emoji.
Tap to edit. Insertion point at end.
And now just
text
search
field.
For
is
what
it?
You're looking for. Broom. And swipe
inserted
to the
broom.
Right.
Clear text, button, broom, one.
And there's the option, double tap that. And this feature just makes your life so much easier with emojis. And those are the features you can find in iOS 14. Of course, there's more to find in iOS 14. So enjoy and dive right in there. And let us know, leave a comments on this podcast and what you found that others might find it interesting and noteworthy. Also, and last, stay tuned with AppleViz. I will be presenting lots and lots of how-to features you can use with iOS 14. My name is Thomas Donville. I also go by the name of Anonymous. Until next time, bye.
This AppleVis podcast has been brought to you by the community of AppleVis.com for the latest in resources and tips and tricks to get you the best experience from your Apple. www.AppleVis.com.